Everybody ready? Yeah. All right, this is the last one on Memorial Day before you guys get the rest of the afternoon, so we're going to do church today. Is everybody ready to do this? Yeah. All right, let's get excited. And we've had a little bit of a Memorial Day hangover, I'm just going to say right now, and we're not going to do that this third service. We're going to finish strong, all right? So today we're going to be talking about what lies beneath. What lies beneath the surface of what we see and hear this morning. Many people are a little bit uncomfortable whenever you start peeling back the layers of life. Would you guys agree? Like, generally speaking, most healthy people don't sit down with someone for the first time after they met them and tell them everything about their life, right? Does everybody understand that? Have you ever met someone who does that? Most of the time you're like, oh, wow, I didn't need to know that. Too much information. So anyway, today I want to talk about what lies beneath, because what is underneath the surface is incredibly important to your security and to your safety. Today we're gonna think about in the Bible that sometimes there's a disconnect between what you see on the surface and what lies beneath. In other words, in the Old Testament, one of the writers in the Old Testament said that the people of Israel had a struggle, that sometimes they were in a season or there was a generation that would honor God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. Now think about that for a moment. Do you think that any of us in here are ever guilty of doing the same? That we might every now and then come into God's house and maybe we're singing, you know, Trust Without Border. And so that was my best that I got right there. And so we're singing that out, right? We're just giving it all we got. But in our hearts, we're far from God. And maybe even like if you're a Bible school teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a life group leader in our church, you can even serve God with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, and yet your heart can be far from him. As a matter of fact, I won't say it's been very many times, but if I were being honest with you this morning, occasionally preachers even take this center stage, bringing you the word, and our hearts aren't as close to God as they should be when presenting the word. So would you guys agree with me that sometimes what we see on the outside is not necessarily reflective of what's on the inside? And so this morning I want us to dig a little deeper, go beneath the surface because of this. In the book of James, it says that we're not to be only hearers of the word, but we're also to be doers of the word. As a matter of fact, James goes on to say that a living faith will always be productive. He says, you say that you have faith, but I will show you my faith by what I do. So it's faith in action that matters. Faith that produces matters. A faith that never produces anything, he says, is a useless faith. So this morning, I want you to kind of look beneath the surface and allow God's word to kind of be a revealing mirror that might demonstrate where you're at. You say, well, Tim, why is it really important? I mean, it's between me and God, and you know what? I don't need to really go beneath the surface because I know what's down there, blah, 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 blah. All right, listen. The storm is coming. The storms of life are always coming. The waters are always rising around us, and how you prepare will determine how you do in the day of the storm. Have you ever had a season of life that was unexpected? Show of hands, anybody? Unexpected? Like a storm came, a loss happened, change occurred, and it wasn't something you expected. Matter of fact, if you were to think about your life as it is right now, is your life exactly how you expected it to be? I mean, has it gone just like a clock? Everything in your life has been perfect, and you knew you would be sitting in Genesis Metro on this Memorial Day in 2014. That's how good you are, all right? If you're like most people, the answer is no. There's unexpected things that happen in life. When those unexpected storms hit, how have you done? Have you been prepared, or have you been flattened? You see, as your pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, as a father, as a husband, I care deeply about whether or not you are prepared for the storm that is coming. You say, Tim, how do you know? How do you know the storm is coming? Just as sure as I'm sitting here, there's probably some storms that blew up in your life this week that you brought in here with you. And now I hope that I can bring some hope and some encouragement, because there's a way that we can prepare for the storm so that we're not crushed by its weight. In Luke chapter 6, it describes exactly this. Jesus is teaching, and he says this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? Is there anyone in here besides me that from time to time, you do not do exactly what you know God's word says that you should do? I mean, I think this is a very valid question, because I think all of us suffer from sometimes we know what we should do, but we don't do it. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said that there's things that I don't want to do. I don't want to do these things, but I find it so easy to do them. Have you ever tried not to get mad at your spouse for like a whole week? Has anybody in here ever had this experiment? You're like, I know I should love them. I'm going to do it this week. And then like, how long does that last? Right? A day, maybe an hour for some of you. And then like the rage monster comes out and devours everything around you. And so sometimes we know what the word of God says, but it's the doing that is difficult. So Jesus asks a question. He says, why then do you call me Lord and you don't do what I tell you to do? He raises the question. And I love it, because Jesus, whenever he gives a dilemma, always gives a solution. Here it is. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. Emphasis on the doing part. Hearing does not count. Doing does. He says, I will show you what the one is like that does my words. Verse 48, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because of the foundation that he had laid. But, I wish all of us were building on the rock this morning. Because I don't even want to preach verse 49. It says, but some who hear the word and they don't do the words are like a man who built his house on the ground. He didn't dig. He just said, you know what, I'm gonna be content with the surface. I'm gonna settle for the surface. And he built his house on the ground. And when the stream broke, when the flood came, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Man, I can't tell you how many lives I've seen in shambles as a result of thinking that the flood was never going to come. Unprepared and unaware. Today I'm gonna tell you some things that keep us from being prepared, and I'm gonna give you some solutions so that you can build a life, build a marriage, build a faith that will stand in the midst of the storm. So as I was thinking about this, my thought was, what Jesus was actually saying here is, you are what you do. You are what you do. There are several ways that we end up tricking ourselves. We deceive ourselves sometimes. Would you guys agree that sometimes we deceive ourselves? Because Jesus said, you are what you do, but some people believe they are what they wish to be. All right? Listen to a guy talk about his athletic ability, all right? And you will know that many men believe they are what they wish to be. At Genesis Metro, we do a lot of personality assessments, and we do so that we can have effective communication. We give people tools in their hands so that they might build healthy relationships. And in those personality assessments, we talk about four basic personality types. Let's see if you know who you are. A D personality is one who is the guy who's going to conquer the mountain at all costs. He is a win at all costs. Sometimes, maybe, even breaks the rules in order to win at all costs. Leaves the casualties on the battlefield because they are not important. What is important is that I win. All right, if you're a D, Raise your hand. Anybody, a D in here? Yes, you know who you are. There you go. That's my D's. Now my eyes. You know who all the eyes are? Let's have some fun in here. What do you say? All my eyes. That's right. Let's go have some, let's tell a joke, let's tell a story, let's laugh, let's have a good time, let's party, okay? B-Y-O, fun. And so, that's what an I personality is all about. They are all about having a good time. It doesn't mean that there's no depth to them, it's just that there's depth in order to have fun, okay? So, that's my I personalities. Then you get to the S. That's okay, let's calm down. Everybody take it easy. Is everybody okay in here? Everybody comfortable? Is temperature okay for you? All right. I just want to make sure everybody's okay, everything's okay. He was talking really loud, and I didn't know if he was yelling at me or something like that. Or did you have a good time in the service today? Just want to check. Your kids taken care of? S personalities are so sweet. So sweet, all right? They also are so stubborn. Yes, that's their dirty little secret, you S personalities in here. Stubborn. You know how you're stubborn? Because when I say you're stubborn, you know what you say? I'm not stubborn. Yes. I win right there. S's want to make sure everybody's okay. And then there's the C personality. C personality. C's are all about the rules, all about the lists, all about the compartmentalization. As a matter of fact, they can compartmentalize people. Yes, they have a box. Like, you're in the box of people I hate. You're in the box of people I love. And so they can compartmentalize anything. They can send conversations in a spreadsheet. It's amazing, right? They love to do research. If you're a C, do you know who you are in here? Raise your hand if you're a C personality. Yes, okay. So now we know who we are. Here is what is amazing about what we're trying to kind of bring out in this moment. You are what you do. Every now and then, I get a personality assessment, and I know the person. Now, on this personality assessment, you have characteristics, and they bubble in, right, what they're supposed to be. And so I'll get a personality assessment, and what I found is that sometimes people pick what they wish to be, all right? They're like, their personality assessment says they're an I, woo-hoo-hoo! And I'm like, you are not fun, okay? Some people, they're like, oh, I'm a D. Yes, I am a D. No, no, you're not a D. Do you like hurting people's feelings? No, you're not a D then. D doesn't care about people's feelings. And so anyway, so every now and then people pick what they wish to be, not what they are. How do I evaluate? How do I kind of reduce that down? How do I bring out to them what they really are? You know what I do? I ask questions. And the questions are, not what you wish to be. Let's take a past experience. Tell me what you did when this happened. And by what they did, I can tell you what they are. Because you are what you do, not what you wish to be. You are also not what you believe. You see, many people have beliefs. Have you ever heard someone espouse their beliefs? They tell you all day long all the things that they believe. But then you watch what they do. Have you ever seen someone who has some incongruency? Whoa, math term. And so some incongruency with what they say and what they do. Has anybody ever seen this, right? Okay, you've seen it, right? Well, how in the world, if I believe all these things about Jesus, I believe all these things about God, and yet they don't put their faith into practice, would you say that they lose credibility as a result of having beliefs without actions? Of course you would. As a matter of fact, a great litmus test for your Christianity is how do you do in the relationships with the people that you're closest to? For most of us in here, that might be in marriage. In marriage, how do you do? Because most people in here would say you believe God. You believe in the Word of God. You believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Then, let me look at your marriage. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? Because if you can't get the most important relationships right, then there's something wrong between what you believe and what you do. Herein lies the question that Jesus is posing this morning. Lastly, in this level of what you do, or is what you are is what you do, is this. You are not what others believe you to be. You see, some of us are really in to what others think. And as a result of what others think, we think as long as they think we're all good, then it's really all good. Have you ever seen someone like this? You are paralyzed by what other people think. And as long as you can maintain the charade, as long as you can keep the facade intact, that you have it all together, that you're really happy, when in reality you're broken and you're miserable and you're drowning inside, you are not what people think you are. You are what you do. This morning I cannot express to you enough that you have to start doing the right things if you want to get ready for the storm. So that leads me to my second point, procrastination. Raise your hand if you ever procrastinate. Yes, procrastination. Here is my great graphic, right? I'll find a picture for this later. I never got around to it, darn it. So procrastination. I want you to think about that this morning. Procrastination equals you're ignoring the implementation of God's word. In other words, he says, you hear it. That's what Jesus said. They heard it, but then they never did it. So somewhere along the way, they procrastinated, and then it never got there. So I started thinking, what are some practical things that we do whenever we procrastinate? What causes us not to apply the Word of God in our lives? Number one, we get busy. Do you ever find yourself busy in life? Is anybody here in here busy? Anybody just show up? You have a busy life? Does anybody have a busy schedule in here? Yeah, I bet you do, right? Matter of fact, have you ever had so many thoughts rolling through your brain? Like sometimes I get to the end of my shower and my shower is my think time and I don't know if I wash my hair. Am I alone in this? Does anybody else have this thought? Or better yet, do you ever walk from one room of your house to another room of your house because you were on a mission, right? You knew that right now I need to go to that room. And then you get to that room and you find yourself standing there not knowing why you're in that room. Raise your hand. Has this ever happened to someone here? Don't you feel weird? You're like, I know I came here for a reason and I don't know why that is. Why? Because you've got so much stuff rolling around your head, you get distracted and then you lose sight of what originally was intended. I wonder if we ever are like that with the Word of God. We had good intentions. We moved from one room to the other room, and somewhere along the way, we saw a bright, shiny thing, and it got our attention, and the next thing you know, we never implemented what we learned. So that leads to the second part of this procrastination process. Here's the thing. Whenever the Word of God goes forth, the Bible says the Word of God is like a seed. So you can think about like an apple seed that makes an apple tree. And the Word of God is going forth, and whenever we receive it, we have to grab a hold of it. A very intentional process. If you are haphazard in your attention and retention of the Word of God, then you are going to have a disaster in your life. Because it says that the Word of God, when it goes forth, if you don't grab hold of it, and if you don't bury it deep into the soil of your heart, then what happens? The enemy comes along and grabs the seed and takes it from you. Now, I bet you can relate to this. Have you ever been in a worship service? Or maybe reading your Bible in a life group Bible study somewhere, listen to the radio, whatever it could be, and the Word of God went forth and you were listening to it. And as you were listening to it, it hit you, right? Like it convicted you. Maybe it was something you needed to change. Maybe it was something you needed to confess. Maybe it was something you needed to start doing in your life. And you resonated. It's like a bell. When a bell rings, it begins to vibrate out. And it vibrated down to like the core of your soul. But then what happens? If you don't seize that moment, if you don't take that moment and bury it down into the depths of your heart, time goes by, doesn't it? And that Bible, the word has gone forth, that seed is just laying on the surface because you didn't take it and you didn't bury it, you didn't apply it, you didn't assimilate it, you didn't invite accountability into your life, you didn't tell the teacher, hey, this is what I learned, hold me accountable to it, or you didn't go to someone and say, this is what I need to start doing, hold me accountable to it, and as a result, that seed is laying out there and the enemy comes in and robs you of your transformation. How many times have you been somewhere and you said, I'm doing it, I'm receiving it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to lay it down. And then time went by and you reverted right back to your old habits, your old behaviors. Why is that happening? Because you are hearing the word and you're not doing the word. And until you start doing the word, you're going to leave yourself wide open to attack and to calamity. That leads us to our next point. People that refuse to dig for their foundation, they settle for the surface. And surface settlers, okay, check that out. Surface settlers are interested in the superficial. They're interested in how it looks right now. You see, in the story, there was one guy, he had to spend some extra time, right? I mean, it took time to dig down deep. I mean, who knows how long it took to get to the bedrock level? And then after he got to the bedrock, he had to start laying all of his bricks. And it's extra bricks because he had to dig down deeper. Who wants to take all the time to build a suitable structure with a great foundation when you could just get to the building on the surface? You see, whenever you're interested in the surface, you're interested in the superficial, and most of the surface settlers, they look around at the superficial and they say, you know what, it looks good right now. It looks good right now. And if it looks good right now, why would I go through all the bother of the extra work? Oh, I'm telling you, here's the problem. Here's the problem. It says that the water was rising. The water was rising around this person. And it says all of a sudden, the dam broke and the water came in. I want to ask you a question. The times that you've been hurt the most, were they unexpected tragedy and calamity? Think about that for a moment. Most of the things that are devastating in our life are the ones that we didn't see coming. When you found out that this person wasn't faithful to you, when you found out that this leader that you held up in high esteem wasn't what you thought they were, it's the unexpected things that oftentimes hurt us the most. I can take you from ash heap to ash heap of people's lives who said, the storm will never come for me. I don't have to worry about that. My life is just fine. I don't need people of God in my life. I don't need to be a part of community. I got this figured out, Tim. I mean, pride will prevent you from digging deep. Just as sure as I'm sitting here today, some of you might hear the word of God and your pride says, you know what? I know I should, but not right now. I don't know how many marriage counseling sessions I've been sitting in when this life is literally crumbling before my very eyes. This marriage is literally beginning to fall in on itself. And a husband will say, well, I know I should, but their pride won't let them. Or a wife that says, I know I should, but their pride won't let them. Or a student that is surrounded by peers that are going in the wrong direction and they know that they should turn, but their pride won't let them. What other people think won't let them. I'm telling you that life is unpredictable, and that's why you're vulnerable. The storm is going to come in a time when you did not expect it. And if you haven't prepared, disaster. It says, great was the fall thereof. This morning, I just want you to consider, how do you prepare for the storm that is waiting for you right now? Number one, you have to dig deep. Dig deep. Everybody say dig deep. Let's go. One, two, three. Dig deep. All right. If you aren't willing to dig, how are you going to get to the rock? Now, he gives us the prescription for how to dig. He says, whenever you do the word, you dig. Whenever you do the word, you build. So think about that this morning. If you are doing the word of God, every time you do the word of God, it's like you have a shovel and you grab the dirt and you throw it to the side, and that's one more layer that you're digging down. And then you do some more of the word until you hit the bedrock. When you hit the bedrock, the next time you do the word, you're laying a brick on that foundation. And then you do the word some more and you lay another brick on that foundation. And it says when it's all said and done, if you continue to do the word, you are going to build a fortress around your life so that in the day of trouble, in the day of the storm, the rock is able to withstand the storm. Understand this, you are not able in your own strength to stand the storm. that you need a rock beneath you that you have built your life on in order to stand the storm. You must do the word in order to prepare. You see, many people, they're like, you know what, Tim, how do you do the word? Well, let's just take, for instance, if you struggle with worry, does the Bible have a word for your worry this morning? It says, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow's worries are sufficient for itself. In other words, he's saying, I'm the God that supplies peace that surpasses all understanding. So this morning, have you embraced the God who says that I offer peace for your worry? Or maybe you're a person that struggles with your finances. Is there a word for that? It's Matthew 6:33. Let me give you a promise that you can build your life around. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. If I take care of the birds in the sky, if I take care of the grass and the flowers, the Father says, do you not think that I don't know how to take care of you? Well, why am I not being taken care of then? Are you doing the word? Are you doing the word? How about for the pessimist in here that says, you know what? Well, my life's never going to amount to anything. How about Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. I mean, I don't know what your problem is, but he has a promise for every problem. I don't know what your trial is, but he has a testimony for every trial that you're going through. The word of God has all the answers. It's not enough to hear it. At some point, you have to do it. In Psalm 62, he knew about the rock. He said, he only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. In verse 11, it says, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Let me ask you a question. Does power belong to you, or does power belong to him? If it belongs to him, then why do we live as though it belongs to us? If power belongs to him, can you change you? No. How many times have you tried? And how many times have you succeeded? I guarantee you, if you're operating in your own power, you have tried again and again and again and have failed again and again and again. Why? Because you refuse to do the word, to humble yourself, to bow before his throne and say, God, only you have the power to change me. Only you have power to heal me. Only you can recover this from the destruction that I have done. Only you can redeem the thing that I have messed up so poorly. So this morning, who does the power belong to? It belongs to him. And until we acknowledge that, there's no change coming in your life. This morning, if you would start to do the word, he says, connect to Jesus Christ. Is it plain and simple? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you can do anything. If you abide in me, we can make this happen. He says, when you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. This morning, if you would just do the word when the storm comes, and it's coming. For some of you, it already hit this week. When the storm comes, you'll be able to stand. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a foolproof life? Does that mean I'll never have pain? No, you'll have pain, but you'll be able to stand. Does that mean you'll never have struggles in your marriage? No, you'll have struggles, but you'll be able to stand. Does that mean you'll never have struggles in your parenting? No, but you'll be able to stand. Does that mean you'll never have crisis in your faith? No, but you'll be able to stand. Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew that you could say, I will not be shaken. No matter what breaks out against me, I will not be shaken. No matter who comes against me, I will not be shaken. Though I lose everyone else, I will not lose my Savior Jesus Christ, upon whom I have built my life. This morning, I hope that every person in here has that confidence that says, I shall not be shaken. Would you guys stand with us as we have a time of reflection and worship with us? Worship this rock that we've built our lives upon.